You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Final word daily, Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon. At the conclusion, only 3.5 days for New Zealand to dispatch England, the win by 8 wickets. Jeff, very brief day to summarise in 30 seconds. You might be able to commentate every ball in that space of time. Go at it.
Well, I'm so confident about the 30 seconds that I'm going to waste at least the first 10 seconds saying how confident I am about it. I'm going to say, it seems like a really nice day over there, Adam. You seem to be having a really good time. England's innings finished with the first ball of the day. That left New Zealand 38 to chase, and they did so easily. They lost a couple of wickets on the way, but Tom Latham was 23 not out. The end.
Well done. Nicely played. Appropriately that Tom Latham would be there at 23 not out. A lovely boundary behind point from the bowling of Mark Wood. Picked up his 4,000th test run along the way. But Jeff, what stood out to me wasn't really that. It was the trophy presentation. Very subtle, very modest. Yeah, Latham held the trophy up. There was no champagne or any of that. Whilst this means a fair bit to them, and we'll come to why in a moment, it's all about the World Test Championship final. This is a stepping. This is but a stepping stone. Yeah, it was comprehensive. It was confident. It was competent the whole way through. They're a side that's been well drilled, as we talked about yesterday on the Daily Show. But they know that this is not the be all, and that's not why they're here. Notwithstanding what Tom Latham said before the game around this series in isolation, they're here to beat India next week. And boy, I mean, both teams, luxury of riches in terms of who they have to select from. New Zealand made 6 changes here and still did it with a leg in the air. They get to bring back Jameson and Southee, maybe De Grondholm, of course Kane Williamson, BJ Watling, Mitchell Santner there and thereabouts possibly as well. This is going to be one hell of a game next week at the Rose Bowl.
The WTC, it sounds like a wrestling title, and maybe it will be. who knows how willing it will get, but we're excited about it. This is one of the things when the World Test Championship was mooted. It was, will it give extra context and extra meaning to Test cricket? It's added all of this context and meaning to this series because of the way that we've seen New Zealand tuning up to take a shot at India. At the same time, we've got India tuning up their intra-club games. Rishabh Pant smashed 100 against the best bowlers that India have got in their own sort of practice match. And so those two teams, it's when you look at the bowling options for those two teams, that's the most exciting bit. The both of them have about 7 bowlers who could be demanding a spot, and they won't be able to fit them all in. India will be looking at, do they play both of their spinning all-rounders and 3 seamers, or do they go with a 4-pronged pace attack plus one of Ashwin or Jadeja? Because they've got the luxury of batting Rishabh Pant at 6, they've got that option with their all-rounders to get 5 proper bowlers in. New Zealand might do the same thing. They'll have Watling at 6. They've been playing the all-rounder in De Grondholm or Daryl Mitchell at 7, but maybe they'll do away with that. Maybe they'll go with Jameson at 7, and then they can have the full complement of Bolt, Southee, Wagner, plus the spinner, you'd have to think that Ajaz Patel would have got himself that spot now. His bowling looked a lot more threatening than anything Mitchell Santner has sent down in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so there's two parts to this, right? So we know that Southampton seams. It's more a seaming venue than it is a spinning venue. However, it's probably going to be a test match played over 6 days. It's going to rain. According to the forecast, there'll be enough time lost to move it into a 6 day. So you can't go in without a spinner. So the way that England played it this week, for example, that won't fly. So Ajaz Patel or Santner will play. I suspect it'll be the former on the basis of how well he bowled here in both innings. 4 wickets for a finger spinner. I mean, Santner doesn't have a great record when it comes to taking wickets. I know that sounds slightly strange about a guy who's been in the team for a long time as an all-rounder, but he's more a holding option. Patel's more an aggressive option, and they're going to need to take 20 wickets, simple as that. I don't think the draw it will be in their main frame at all. So, yes, I think he'll play, and yes, I think that Jameson, Southey, Bolt and Wagner will be their first choice attack. But, I mean, Matt Henry's man of the match here, player of the match. He took 6 wickets. He was instrumental in making the incision in the middle session on day one. Lovely bit of bowling to Dom Sibley and Joe Root. Then yesterday he blew England away, both openers gone before tea, and then straight after it was Zach Crawley with one that came back towards the right-hander. So the fact that he is probably not in the top team to play despite being player of the match, it's a strange situation for them to be in, but illustrates just how much depth they've got. As for India, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but is it possible Ravindra Jadeja won't play again? I mean, this feels thoroughly out of step with the fact that he might be the most capable cricketer on the planet on his day in terms of the all-round package that he offers India and how successful they are with him and his record with the bat and ball in the last couple of years. I can't fathom how this could happen, but there's reports from India today they're going to play 4 quicks. So if they're playing 4 quicks, by definition, there's only room for one spinner, which will mean that Ravichandran and Ashwin would play, almost certainly, and Jadeja wouldn't. So, yeah, I suppose the real selection decision will be, will it be Siraj for the final bowling spot, or will it be Jadeja as the all-rounder? So, I mean, again, great problems to have for both teams, right? This is why they're the top two teams in the world. This is why they're playing in the World Test Championship final. This is exactly what we wanted 2 years ago, Jeff. We wanted this game to matter. We wanted the best teams to be playing against each other in the decider, and we wanted them to have extraordinary depth, and that gives it the best chance of being a thriller next week, which this game never lived up to those expectations because the gap between the Black Caps and England is way too vast.
It was an extraordinary part of the last few days that, and the last test as well, that the number of times that England pointed to the fact that this was an inexperienced team and they'd had to make changes as the excuse for them playing badly. New Zealand had 6 changes and smashed them. New Zealand had their series was underpinned by 2 batsmen who were each playing in their second test match. So Conway and Will Young were the two who took this match away. Conway was the one who took the first match away on debut, and had they not lost a day to rain, then New Zealand would probably have won that one comfortably as well.
Sure.
It is extraordinary that players with, you know, they're older players, they've got plenty of domestic experience, but England have plenty of players like that as well. It hasn't helped them in terms of making the step up at international level, and yet New Zealand's players have been able to do just that.
Yeah, and Will Young's the other. I mean, Matt Henry was player of the match here. Will Young, I mean, he might have been sort of the third player of the match if you're saying Conway, how important he was. But nevertheless, he was instrumental in New Zealand banking an 85-run first innings lead. And he won't play next week because Kane Williamson comes back in. Tom Blundell, an important contribution yesterday with the bat, kept so well. He won't play next week. So again, it reinforces this point that New Zealand aren't just sort of a group of 11 or 12 players who have been consistently doing it. It's broader than that. It's a better story than that, and that's why they're such an impressive team to follow and why this was such a comprehensive and fine victory.
I wonder if anybody's thought of making the case that that cricket should go full NFL, like have an offence team and a defence team, you know, have 11 players who are bowlers and or fielders, and then a team of 11 who just bat. You know, maybe we can pitch this to some sort of crazy billionaire and get a whole bunch of venture capital funding, which we'll inevitably spend and the whole thing will crash and fail. But it could be fun while it lasts.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've seen zanier ideas. Remember what happened in the Caribbean back in however long ago it was now with the 20 million pound games and all the rest of it. I should say, Jeff, and this might be a Hall of Fame entry later, maybe it won't, I can hear Mr. Brightside being played at full volume behind the Holly Stance over my right shoulder. They're going absolutely wild. back there because they're going to play England-Croatia on the big screen in about 20 minutes. So I assume that means with the big screen on that side of the ground that most people are going to watch underneath the bleachers there. But still, despite the fact they only saw about an hour or so of cricket, they're in a way getting their money's worth after so long in lockdown and isolation. They get to watch a Euros game, a big football game in a very famous stadium here in Birmingham. So an unusual way to spend the afternoon in some respects. But I tell you what, once I've hit stop on this and I've put all my gear away from the radio broadcast, I might go and join them at the back for a couple of beers.
Well, the football game will go for longer than the cricket that they saw this morning. One of those weird sort of formalities of a last day that was actually day four. You said 3.5 days. That was generous. We were done well before the scheduled lunch break.
Yeah, that's right. The way that it played out. I mean, even, yeah, England take a couple of wickets. But when we all get here this morning, I thought to myself, how many balls would a Ollie Stone and James Anderson face in the nets to prepare themselves for their final wicket stand? Probably batter for an hour to get ready or something like that. Anderson not even to get to face a ball. I mean, gosh, a pretty sorry state of affairs. Maybe we should think more about that in the context of the Hall of Fame and the player of the day. And we'll come back to that after learning a bit more about our friends at Woodstock Cricket and the beautiful, beautiful bats they make and sell up there at Nottingham.
Woodstock Cricket, home of the finest handmade cricket bats and soft goods. Visit either our showroom or workshop and experience the magic for yourselves. For bookings, contact info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
Final Word Daily, Adam Collins, Jeff Lemon at the end of the England-New Zealand series. I'm here at Edgbaston where England got demolished. Jeff, player of the day. I mean, I'm going with Tom Latham on the basis that 57th test match, he's made, I think, a dozen or so test centuries, very consistent, and he can add a series-winning captain in England to his list of achievements on his CV. Jeremy Coney in 1986, our friend and colleague. Stephen Fleming in 1999. Well, 22 years later, yeah, it was Williamson in the first test, but here Latham, he did a fine job yesterday marshalling the troops. It was ever so appropriate for mine that he scored that winning boundary behind point and was able to walk off with red ink next to his name. A great moment for him personally, so he's my player of the day.
And it also seemed fitting that he just guided that ball away down to deep third and nobody bothered chasing it. There was no, you know, the England players weren't interested in trying to stop him from scoring a boundary and, you know, keep them to three runs fewer than they might make. No. It was all over by that point. So also given the fact that basically no one else did anything on this day, it kind of has to be Tom Latham because he scored 23 runs, which is a lot more than most people. But Trent Bolt did bowl a beautiful delivery first up. Scrambled seam, the left armour, scrambled seam that decked away from Ollie Stone. And there wasn't much he could do. He was trying to defend off the back foot and it just decked away from him and took that edge. And then we saw a very nice spell of bowling from Stuart Broad as well to start off. James Anderson was all over the shop though. His first over was about two metres outside the off stump for the whole time. Then he was bowling no balls. He bowled wides. He was bowling the ones on the hip that went away for four leg byes. There was something like eight different extras out of the 38 that New Zealand had to chase. It was a fairly ropey display all up. Not that they were left with much to work with, but the way that Broad bowled, you thought, well, Jesus, if England had 150 to defend, it might have been a handful.
Yeah, maybe so. It was certainly the case here a couple of years ago against India when they had about 170 to play with and won by about 30 runs. Yeah, maybe that's right about Jimmy. I mean, I think by that point, he was just devastated. You could see it. I had the binoculars on him when he walked across the ground before the presentation. He and Stuart were walking towards us and they were gutted. It's a milestone game. It's an important game for Anderson and it'll be one that he doesn't look back on fondly. Yeah, one wicket bowled well. It doesn't reflect how well he bowled, the fact that he only took one wicket in that first innings, but the fact that they've been trounced in three and a bit days, lost a series at home for the first time since 2014, the first time under Joe Root. For a lot of reasons, this will be a sad day in his career rather than a celebration that it could have been had their batting unit been up to the task and by some measure they weren't.
Yeah, and just extraordinary how quickly a test match can fall away because they were, you know, they were competing on the first innings at least. The deficit of 85 was 85's pretty big at Edgbaston. It was something that would have taken a lot to overcome, but they weren't out of the game at that stage. And to fall out of the game within about an hour of play was a pretty extraordinary fall from grace. So there'll be a lot of angry supporters. There'll be a lot of stuff flying around. I've already seen some of it, and so have you, about who should be sacked. And everybody, sack them all. Sack the whole lot. Nobody who's ever played cricket before should be allowed to play cricket again. Just start with completely new people.
Yes, it's a new spin on cancel culture that Dom Sibley might not be permitted to play cricket anymore. Full stop. We'll see. Yep. I'm sure that'll be in the minds of some. Hey, Jeff, I can't believe I'm saying this after the May that we had, but I think I'm getting sunburnt. So let's do the Hall of Fame. Let's do the Hall of Fame very quickly. It's almost got to be the first ball, although I reckon that we might see some Hall of Fame contenders out there later today. But for the time being, I think that it's got to be that delivery from Trent Bolt and Ollie Stone out first ball. I can't think of anything else that necessarily fits the bill, Jeff. What about you?
No, I think that's it because of the moment that it was. You think, all right, well, let's see. Let's see if they can put on another 10 or 20 or whatever it is. I'm ready to go. I'm doing the over-by-over thing on the Guardian. All right, I'm set. Here we go. And he's out.
we did the same thing on our side of the ledger. We had Jeremy Coney coming in to do the first ball, and he hadn't yet made it into his chair yet as Norcross called the wicket. I mean, yeah, it was calamitous. It was a full stop on a shambolic innings with England all out for 122. So that's the Hall of Fame, the first ball dismissal, and that is it for the Final Word Daily from this series. We will be back very soon. I'm doing the women's test at Bristol. Jeff, you and I are both working on the men's test in different ways for the Guardian as well. So me later in the World Test Championship final, you earlier in it. So what we'll do is we'll make the daily where we'll do two test matches at once. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll start on Wednesday, I think, from memory. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
If you're watching this, you get two for the price of one, and that price is free. What a bargain.
It is. Unless you support us on Patreon, which would be lovely. And that's not a cost. That's a contribution that you're making through the goodness of your heart. If you want to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/thefinalword. And yes, there might be somewhere in the order of 9 or 10 days of Final Word Daily in a row coming up, because it will be a six-day test match probably down in Southampton. Between times, the daily show, well, it stops for a few days. The weekly show's back on Tuesday, Wednesday, and story time on the weekend. I hope you've enjoyed what we've done here over the last 4 days. Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon signing off from Birmingham, New Zealand. Outstanding winners by 8 wickets.
Later.